It's 30 minutes past the hour. This is KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. Time to head into the studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Brady McKellar and Elsa Dimitriadis. They are Wanderlust Theater Company, and they are here to talk about a collaboration with Acting Unlimited Incorporated to produce Neil Gaiman's Wolves in the Walls. Actually, it's based upon Neil's book, Wolves in the Walls. It's been adapted for the stage by Cody Digg. And it's a pretty exciting collaboration between your two organizations. Acting Unlimited Incorporated is well known now for daring experimental theater already here in Lafayette, and musical theater, and they've really tried their hand at a lot of different forms of theater. So now they're collaborating with your company, which is known for its interest in puppetry, among other things.
Absolutely. When Marie Diaz, who is the president of AUI, approached us, she knew about our interest in puppetry and our experience, and thought that this particular piece would lend itself well to, you know, incorporating as many forms of puppetry in one piece as possible. And it was something that hasn't been done in that form in a while, at least in Lafayette.
Mm. So. Well, tell us about this book, this story, and why she thought this would be a good collaboration.
Well, it's a great story. There's
you're
this young girl. I'm a fan of Neil Gaiman. If you're listening, Neil, hi. It's this young girl. Her name's Lucy, and she lives in her house with her family, and it's all very sort of a normal life. And it's normal to the point where Lucy really starts to wish that something would happen, that there would be some event or that something could take place. And slowly and over time, she begins to hear these noises in the walls. And so she goes to her father and says, I'm hearing things in the wall. And he says, oh, it's just mice. And she goes to her mother and said, I'm hearing these things in the walls. And she, oh, they're just rats. And so she goes to her brother and he says, it's just bats. But Lucy knows that there are wolves that are in the walls trying to get out. And then, of course, no one believes her, because that's how these stories happen. And then certainly all the wolves burst out of the walls. They chase the family out into the garden. While they're in the garden, they meet a host of other types of characters and creatures and whatnot. And then finally, Lucy decides to get with her family, and they go and they battle to overtake the home again. And there's some interesting sort of shared experiences that take place in the play, especially with adaptation by Cody Daigle. It's just fantastic. But just the myriad of different things that we come in contact with really lends itself to being a puppetry-related program.
Well, that was quite an act of imagination to come up with this. I mean, this wasn't something that Neil Gaiman just handed you all, or, I mean, he's given permission, mm-hmm. but it was a novel. And so to imagine this as a stage production and then to incorporate your talents in creating creatures, again, quite an act of imagination.
Well, it was a lot of fun because it was an award-winning children's story, but Cody was very receptive about incorporating as many different elements as he could so that we would have an opportunity to build more and more types of puppets. And particularly with things that are appearing in the walls to her, it lent itself really nicely to shadow puppetry. And so we are incorporating all different styles, marionettes, Muppet-style puppets, shadow puppetry, as well as we're doing a kite-style puppet. So we're pretty excited about it.
Well, tell us, I'm sure people are very curious about your involvement with puppets. How long have the two of you worked with puppetry?
Well, we met in college, and part of our grad program did incorporate some puppet design, and I had some training as in youth puppetry, as well as Brady, and from there, we became sort of self-taught. Brady's recently studied with Michael Earle, who's the Muppeteer for Mr. Snuffleupagus. He went to New York. And we've trained with some Greek shadow puppeteers. So, you know, we try to stay as well-rounded as possible.
Well, I'm sure our audience is beginning to realize that what you're talking about is puppetry is a lot more than just the little hand puppets we give to children to play with.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Certainly. Well, throughout history and all across the globe, there are just a variety of different kinds of puppetry that are all extraordinarily unique. And like Elsa was touching on, with this particular show, with so many different types of creatures and the different way they contact these creatures, we were really allowed to decide what type of puppetry would best fit for what types of things. And so, like she was saying, for these creatures that are in the walls, we're using a style of Greek shadow puppetry known as katagozi. Which creates these very flat images that they can interact with. But then as things come out and begin to do things. So, yes, we have, you know, the marionette, which is a puppet whose tradition is based in France. We have the kite puppet, which is a Chinese-based puppet. We have kind of a modified bunraku-style puppet, which, of course, is a Japanese puppet style. So we have a lot of different things that are going on. It's very exciting.
And we're really hoping that, you know, adults see that this is a piece not just for children, but for adults as well. You know, as we were speaking earlier, you know, with the event of, you know, War Horse on Broadway and The Lion King, we're hoping that the United States people see that puppetry can be for adults. And whereas in Europe, you know, it's very much a part of an evening tradition. You know, you go to dinner, you go out and see a puppet piece. And we're hoping that that kind of comes back to the United States, that it's not just, you know, early morning Saturday television, which is excellent, but it kind of has made people not as excited, adults, to see puppet shows because they associate it with youth education.
Right. It's not commonly considered to be like a legitimate art form here, you know, in America.
But obviously a very sophisticated art form in many other countries. I mean,
yes.
You've mentioned so many mm-hmm. that we'll see next week when Wolves in the Walls opens up.
Well, I hope they're sophisticated then.
Yeah. So. Well, and I guess the other image people are having, because when we think of puppeteers, we think of them sort of doing everything, you know, running behind the curtain, but it's usually a little more circumscribed. You've got quite a big stage area that you're working.
We do.
That takes a lot of technology, I would think, or running around. Give us a little peek into the background. How do you have it all set up so that you can work everything?
Well, actually, Elsa and I are not actually puppeteering this particular production. Mm-hmm. We have a great group of puppeteers that everyone came and they auditioned. And while the actors were auditioning to be, you know, humans or whatever, Elsa and I took people in the back that were interested in doing puppeteer work. And so we are not actually doing it. We've got a team of about 8, 9?
They're 10 adult puppeteers.
10 adult puppeteers.
And eight young puppeteers.
So so they're back there running around and doing
18
things.
18 people back there, adults and children.
We do.
And human characters. So it's busy, and it's going to be full. But, you know, it's just a lot of figuring out where, you know, people need to be, because the wolves are full human size. You know, they walk around and do things, and then we have some that are kind of captured back behind the wall, and then actually Lucy herself actually has a small pig puppet that she carries around the entire show, and then we have some puppets, creatures that appear out in the garden, and so it's a matter of where do we place them, you know, so that they can sort of come out.
We have a small, relatively small artistic team for this project because Walter Brown, who's our director, is also our scenic and lighting designer, and it's been really nice to have a small group, because with puppetry there's so many, everything is interconnected, particularly, you know, the lights have to work a certain way and the set has to be, you know, available for puppeteers to come in and out, and so we've been really, really fortunate with having him on board.
Mm, and I guess we need to tell people that this will open in Burke Theater here on the UL
yes.
campus, a lovely old theater that was built back in the late 30s and recently renovated. Mm-hmm. And Brady, you are an instructor in the performing arts department
yes.
here at UL, so you're very familiar with that theater.
I am.
Tell us about it, the theater, the seating. What do you find so special about that theater?
Well, it's a great space. Apparently, and this was before I was here, you know, there was a floor seating and there was a balcony seating, but one of the main issues apparently was sound, and so a lot of it got completely renovated. Dean Brooks actually did a lot of the architecture redesign for the building. And it's a great space. It seats, I think, about 210 people. There's a nice rake in the audience so that you've always got a great view to see from. You can hear everywhere. It's just a wonderful little space, and there's great production locations behind it. There's an outstanding full furnished scene shop, and then we've got a great costume shop that we've been doing a lot of our puppetry construction out of. So it's a great space to come and see anything. And mm-hmm. we do both of our theatrical productions in the school year there, and then in the spring we actually do our dance concert in Burke Theater as well.
I really like the space because it still seems very formal, but it feels very intimate. That's and so particularly when we build the puppets, you know, no detail goes unnoticed. So you don't build this elaborate puppet and say, oh man, you can't even see
right,
it. You
someone's seeing only half of what you're doing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice combination of those mm-hmm. two elements.
Because I know there are a lot of people in our audience who have not yet seen a production in the newly renovated Burke Theater.
Oh, they are missing out.
Yeah, they really need to. If you just have tuned in, my guests are Brady McKellar and Elsa Dimitriadis. They are Wanderlust Theater Company. In collaboration with Acting Unlimited Incorporated, they are presenting Neil Gaiman's Wolves in the Walls and the Book of Dee. Cody Daigh is involved with both of those. He adapted Wolves in the Walls with permission from mm-hmm. Neil Gaiman and actually his blessing, and he's helped to support
yes.
the production as well.
Yes, he has.
That will open next week on July 26th. That's a Thursday, and it will run just, 2 weekends. Is that it? It'll
yes.
run through
yes,
August
ma'am.
5th.
Thursdays through Sundays.
All right,
yes.
So we'll have 2 weekends to see that. But I know, people sometimes put things off going, oh, I'll have time to see that. But with the 210 seats that you're describing, really good idea to make plans to see this play
mm-hmm.
and not put that off. Well, tell us about some of the other productions you all have been involved with and what kinds of puppets you've used for those productions.
Well, one particular project that we really enjoyed, the Greek-style shadow puppetry, we were talking about the Karayozi. They have stock characters, and we were in New Orleans living there for a while, and we took a group of at-risk youth, and we had them take those stereotypes and apply them to modern-day New Orleans scenario, and it was amazing to see the things that they... perhaps unbeknownst to them, thought were interesting. They discussed things about police aggression and that sort of thing. And they wrote a script called No Name Joe, and we produced it at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. So they were also able to travel the show and kind of get used to that sort of puppeteering troupe sort of tradition. So that was one that we were particularly proud of.
Mm. And was there another traveling show that you all did together?
We have another show that we do, and it's entirely based off of Louisiana and Cajun folktales. And it's called Swamping Stories, and it involves a series of puppets that are, they're full-size puppets. Like, it is slightly larger than a human. And they're really interestingly made. The torso of the puppet basically sits right in front of your chest, and then your hand goes into the back, and then it manipulates the head of the... I just bumped the thing. just in
pretend
case
it's
you
a
can't
puppet.
you manipulate the head of the puppet that way, and then your arm goes into the puppet's arm, and so you have a live hand there. And then you build out legs for the puppet that you join just under the knee, and then you share feet with the puppet. And so we have this great series of short stories that we travel around with, and perform those in a variety of different locations.
What are some of the folk tales that you all?
Oh gosh,
me put us on this.
I was
well,
like, humorous.
Is right now all I can think about is the voices that
the
we
voice.
Use for them. There's this one where there's this man who comes around and he sells coconuts. But he tells the people of this small kind of backwater community that they're actually eggs, and that if you buy them and you wait long enough, the egg will hatch and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he makes all this money swindling all these people, et cetera, et cetera. But then they discover that they are, in fact, just coconuts, and they're cost like a nickel. And so they actually build this giant version of what they imagine that this bird would look like. And they go to him and they say, oh my gosh, the bird just hatched. And he's like, that's impossible. But then, like, the bird rampages the area and he kicks the wagon over and all sorts of stuff. And so he runs off through the swamps, but, you know, and so they get their money back. So that's just an example of one of the kinds of
And we play two of the characters, but we get audience members to come up and kind of improvise their own characters. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm imagining how well that would play in a lot of communities around here.
But we also do a lot of... our company also does a lot of productions that don't have puppetry in the mix at all. We just did Match here the middle of last year. And right now, we actually have a one-man show that we've been touring around. It's just, we really like to focus a lot on different types of storytelling. and or unique ways or non-traditional ways of storytelling. And puppetry is one of those main ways that we like to try to get involved with projects.
Mm. And I'm sure there are some people curious trying to imagine some of your creations. If you have a website?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's Wanderlust Theater. That's theatre.com. But also if you go to our Facebook page, just by Googling Wanderlust Theater Company, we post pics of the day. So as we're building these puppets, we post kind of in-process photos or things that our classes are doing. And so I think that's kind of fun, you know, because it's very up-to-date.
And it's great. And if you like us, you know, you can get updates. And we always post when we're having auditions or what kind of upcoming projects there are or when we're looking for other people that might want to be involved. So liking us on Facebook is a great way to sort of stay in touch with what we've got going on.
All right. And you all are based in Lafayette now.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Again,
yes.
Brady McKellar, an instructor in performing arts, and Elsa Dimitriadis, also part of Wanderlust Theater. So Facebook or the web, look them up, and you can get more information about the company and also get daily updates if you like the Facebook page. Get to see some of these great creations. So I'm trying to imagine how people are imagining your work, and they're thinking, well, they've got to be carpenters, they've got to be seamstresses, they've got to be sculptors, because you're describing a lot of different forms of puppetry. It's not just a little simple felt cutout, you know?
No.
So you have to be very skilled.
Electrician. We have a number of puppets, a couple actually in this show that have some lights that go on and off. So there is, it's a very wide variety mm-hmm. of skills that are required. I suppose if you were do different types of pup. Like if you focus on a particular type, you probably can focus a little bit more. But with this show, we've kind of really had to broaden our repertoire.
What's nice is that, you know, we've worked together for so long that as time has gone on, we kind of have split our skill set. So we don't feel like both of us have to learn every single thing, you know. And so we kind of have fallen into grooves of what one person does and what another person does.
Yeah, there are things that I don't even bother to learn because I know that...
that Elsa can do
that.
That
Elsa will take care of.
And so, I'm not using a bandsaw, you know what I mean?
So what is your specialty, Elsa?
I do a lot of the drawing, a lot of the painting and that sort of thing. And we split the sewing work. A lot of times, you know, Brady will guide me and that sort of thing. But and I'll do a lot of the rendering, you know, for different people. But Brady definitely does, you know, most of the carpentry, a lot of the more innovative. You'll see the wolf heads. And he's doing a fabulous job. We just walked from the shop, so that's kind mm-hmm. of what he's working on right now.
A lot of I do is more of like... you know, what goes on inside the puppet? You know, like, what is that structure? How does the skull work? You know, how do the mechanics
work? The science
work?
Of the puppet.
Well, I guess.
The engineering.
Right,
the engineering.
So the engineering, I guess so. I guess mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. I can see a lot of kids out there going, you know, puppetry might be a good way to go.
It would be. It would be a great way to go.
Yeah. Well, so again, you've got 18 people helping you in the background, mm-hmm. Puppeteers that you audition. So were there enough people that you felt had, a skill set that you could use here in Lafayette?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, a lot of the times when you go in, it's not even so much skill set, but mm-hmm. there's a certain... I don't know what you call it, but there's a certain instinct, you know, that someone will bring to the table about the manipulation of inanimate object. And once you can, I mean, you almost can see it in their eye while they're working on it. And you go, okay, that's somebody that will pick this up, or that's somebody that, you know, that'll get the flow of this without a whole lot of trouble.
Right, they have that ability for that, you know, that suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. And that's what we asked for when we had the auditions at 8:10, was just come willing to participate, and then we'll see. You know, I think we had a handful of people who had some experience mm-hmm. with puppeteering, but for the most part, you know, they were newbies, and they've really just kind of completely embraced it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting the way you say that they were really good at bringing inanimate objects to life, because that is a really different approach than someone who's a good actor, perhaps.
Right, right.
To be able to imagine the expressions and attitude of an inanimate object.
Right, and what does George Bernard Shaw say?
George Bernard Shaw actually says that any location that teaches acting, he feels like should teach puppetry, because so many of the aspects... on the minimal level, translate directly up to, you know, making a better actor. So,
Yeah, well, working, I guess, with any prop on stage, right. It's almost similar, you know. Again, if you have just tuned in, my guests are Wanderlust Theatre Company, Brady McKellar and Elsa Dimitriadis. They are collaborating with Acting Unlimited Incorporated to present Neil Gaiman's Wolves in the Walls, adapted for the stage by Cody Daigh. Cody also wrote Book of D, a play for young actors, and that's going to be produced as well. Mm-hmm. So you perform Wolves in the Walls first, and then, or how does that work?
It flips it. Okay. The Book of D
will be first,
and then a brief intermission, and then the Wolves in the Walls. And I think that all of the participants, if I'm not mistaken, in the Book of D are some of our younger puppeteers. So it's been nice, you know. I mean, long nights for them, mm-hmm. double rehearsals, but you know, they're able to kind of double dip, if you will. Wow. In the theater experience for the summer.
Well, it sounds like you're helping to add to the palette of creative activity we already have here in Lafayette and the surrounding area. Certainly, we have a very active theater community.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're just adding to the ways people can be creative in this area.
We were so impressed by how many theater companies, and I mean, there's a show you can go to virtually any weekend if you are interested in that. You
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm. And a real variety of types
absolutely.
Of theater. Yeah. Book of D first, and then Neil Gaiman's Wolves in the Walls. About how long does each one last?
I think the Book of D runs maybe 20-25 minutes, mm-hmm. and Wolves in the Walls is right at an hour.
Okay.
And so it's a good full evening for people.
Children and adults.
And adults, yes.
Right.
Make sure they know that. What we're talking about will open on July 26th in Burke Hall Theater, a beautiful little theater. This is a great opportunity to see it if you have not ever been or haven't been in a while. It's a real treat to experience it. They really honored the style of the old theater, but as Brady was saying, really improved it so the sound and visuals are really good there. And check out their site, so Wanderlust Theatre Company, so you can see what their creations look like and perhaps get updates on what they create and what they're involved with as well. So just search for Wanderlust Theatre Company. Well, thank you both for taking a moment.
Thank
I know
you.
Y'all are busy
you.
Back there in Burke Theatre, but we really look forward to seeing the production July 26th through August 5th. That will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday each week. Thank you both. Thank you very much. Thank you.
arts and culture in South Louisiana. In Baton Rouge through July, a collection of work by Craig McCullen called Precious Things that is at the Baton Rouge Gallery, and you can find out more about the gallery and his work at the website batonrougegallery.org. It will be up through the end of July. And opening here in Lafayette at Cité des Arts, the play The Rehearsal. It's a 17th century comedy about a playwright who believes he knows all about the newest trends in drama and literature. And it's quite absurd and funny. It's first performed in 1671. It's being directed here in Lafayette by Lauren Green White, and the costumes and music are going to be fabulous. It will again open at Cité des Arts, opening on the 19th and running through July 29th. For more information, you can go to the Cité website. You can also get tickets through Cité. And we'll be speaking with Lauren a little bit later on this week about the rehearsal. Again, that's at Cité. The 10th anniversary celebration of the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble presents Love's Labor's Lost. That will open at the Acadiana Center for the Arts on July 20th and run through July 28th. For more